Lord God planted in the garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to sight and good for food. And the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. From thence it was parted and became into four heads. Now I'm going to skip that just simply because that has nothing to do with the message, and get to verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God saith, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. That's what the Lord said. The Lord said it wasn't good for man to be alone. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept and took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh in the stead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. I want you to look back at verse 17 tonight for our simple thought for tonight. Verse 17, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Notice this now. Thou shalt not eat of it. He said, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. I want to give you a verse in the New Testament that goes along with that verse. Amen. It says in 1 John chapter number 2, verse number 1, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. I want to use those two thoughts tonight to preach on this subject. And don't let the title discourage you from what I'm going to say tonight. But I want to preach on the subject of sin. The subject of sin. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in word and prayer. Amen. Father, thank you for letting us be here tonight. It's already, as the pastor said, Lord, been blessed and encouraged by the choir, by the special, by the testimony, and Lord, by what the preacher had to say. God, we are so blessed to be saved by the grace of God. And Lord, to be in church tonight. God, to be in this beautiful part of the country. Lord, how we rejoice in our heart over how good, God, you've been to us. Now, Lord, just for a few minutes, Lord, I pray you'd help us to preach with the anointing and touch of God. I pray this truth would find lodging in our heart. And Lord, as a result of it, God, we'd be a better Christian and we'd be a better church. And Lord, so you may you speak to us tonight through the Word of God and by the power of the Holy Ghost. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The Bible said, thou shalt not eat of it. Of course, we know that Adam and Eve in chapter number 3, they did partake of that fruit. And they did sin. Now, as I said, don't let me, honestly, by giving you a title, turn you off to what this message is about. Because I really want to bring forth a truth that I trust and pray will be a great help to us. You and I know because of Ephesians chapter number 5 that Adam and Eve, husband and wife, are a type of Christ in the church. The Bible confirms in Ephesians chapter number 5 that a man and his wife is a type of Christ in the church. It says in Ephesians 5:30, for we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, he said, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So the Lord is saying here that a man and his wife is a type of Christ and the church. Now bear with me on the introduction. You're going to have to really stay with me to get where I'm going on the introduction. So the Bible says that Adam and Eve was a type of Christ and the church. Now Adam had a bride named Eve, who is a type of the church, which is the bride. Now with that thought in mind, stay with me. Adam and Christ had to do several things for their bride, or to have their bride. Number one, Adam partook of the fruit because he loved his bride. Adam fruit because he loved his bride. You see, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that Adam was not deceived. The woman was deceived, but Adam wasn't deceived. Adam willingly took of that fruit because what? Because he loved his bride. Now Christ likewise did the same thing. Could I say, for the bride, which is a type of the church, Christ willingly partook of our sin because he loved his bride, which is the church. Amen. Number two, amen. They willingly partook because there could be no fellowship. Adam willingly partook of that tree of knowledge of good and evil because when Eve sinned, there could be no fellowship. The Bible said there was enmity between the two. One was fallen and one was not. And the Bible said we are not to be unequally yoked together. So, y'all stay with me now. He partook because he wanted to have fellowship with his bride. Amen. Could I say in a higher manner that the Lord Jesus Christ willingly partook of our sin? Now, he did not sin, but he paid our sin and became sin so that he could have fellowship with his bride, which is the church. Amen. Then number three, Adam willingly partook because it was the only way to save his bride. You see, Eve was fallen, the church was fallen. And Adam willingly partook because he wanted to save his bride. And the only way he could save his bride is they must come together and have a seed, which the seed is Christ Jesus, that would be a remedy for their sin. Amen and amen. Could I say that Christ, who is that seed, it was the only way he could save his bride. He had to partake of our sin. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24, who is his own self, bear our sin in his own body on the tree partook of his sin on the tree that we being made, and by his stripes we are healed. Now, here's my thought. Adam and Eve, who is the type of Christ in the church, purpose was to produce children. The Bible said in Genesis 1:28 that they were to produce children. God blessed them. God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living creature that moves upon the earth. So, Adam and Eve were to reproduce. Now, I want to say to us tonight, that's what the church is supposed to do. The church is supposed to reproduce itself. And though, with that thought in mind, what God was going to do in the world, he had to do it through Adam and Eve. Therefore, God had to deal with their sin if he was going to do something through them, and the only person he had to work through was Adam and Eve, which is the type of Christ in the church. Is everybody getting that? So what God was going to do in the world, he was going to do through Adam and Eve, which is the type of Christ in the church. Can I say this today? That what God is going to do in this world, he's going to do through his church. God's work is designed on planet Earth to be done through the local New Testament church. In other words, anything God wants to do, he's going to run it through the church. Amen. God is not building clubs. God is building churches. I was in the club before I got saved. When I got saved, I got out of the club and got into church. So God is not building a club. God is building a church. Now, I'm saying all that to get to where I want to go. So Adam and Eve, who is a type of Christ in the church, Eve being a type of the church, we are the church. Their sin had to be dealt with before they could be used to do anything for the cause of Christ. Is everybody getting that? That's true of the church today. Hey, before God can do anything through the church, he has to deal with our sin. Amen. Now, has it ever occurred to you that the church was instituted to deal with our sin? The church was instituted to deal with our sin. Now, I challenge you to help me. I challenge you on this tonight. There's not another organization on planet Earth that is instituted to deal with the sin of man.
The only organization I know that is ordained to deal with the sin of man is the church. Now, we have organizations that deal with symptoms, but this organization, the church, is dealing with the source. We have some organizations, you can call them good. We talk about that. We have Alcoholic Anonymous. My daddy was in Alcoholic Anonymous, amen. I mean, to get him off of alcohol. My daddy was a town drunk, and they took him to AA to get him off of alcohol, but they was dealing with the symptoms. But one day, the church come by my daddy's house, and they got him to Jesus, amen. And they dealt with the source of his sin, and he got saved by the grace of God, and he didn't have to drink no more. Amen. So, organizations are in existence that deal with symptoms, but the church is in existence to deal with the source of sin. Amen and amen. So, the church is instituted to deal with the source of our sin. Now listen, we ought to be very thankful for a God-ordained institution to deal with our sin. Do you know the angels didn't get that chance? When the angels sinned, God said, that's all, it's it, you're consigned to hell. Amen. But when we sin, God ordained a way that we could have a remedy. Amen. I'm glad God didn't mark us off and put us in hell like He did the angels. But what? He ordained an institution called the church that will tell you how you can get out of your sin. By the way, hey, you can go to good organizations that I'm not knocking them, and you can quit drinking and still die and go to hell. Amen. You can go to some drug we have, get off drugs, and still be lost. Amen. But God gave us an institution called the church that deals with our sin problem so there can be a remedy. And we can get forgiven. And we can get victory. So here's my thought. Y'all got to stay with me. The church was ordained to deal with our sin. Amen. Amen. Now, what are you trying to say, preacher? Well, most people ain't looking for a church like that. Most people aren't looking for a church that deals with its main assignment. Its main assignment is to deal with our sin. You can never get a person saved till you, first of all, deal with their sin. You can't expose a person to grace until they know they're lost. There's no need to throw a life raft to somebody out in the ocean or somebody on the land that ain't sinking. You know, when you say, man, you ought to experience the grace of God. Well, you don't need grace if you ain't sinking. It's like throwing a life raft to somebody standing on dry ground. Y'all got to help me now. The church's assignment is to deal with our sin so we can get the grace. Amen. 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 Matter of fact, this occurred to me. Practically every book in the New Testament was written because there was a problem. I challenge you, by read probably just about every epistle in the New Testament got written because there was a problem to be dealt with, and he wrote an epistle to deal with that problem. So every book in the New Testament, basically in the epistles, was written to deal with sin problems. And I won't take time tonight. You turn to Romans, chapter 1, you sinners. Chapter 2, you sinners. Chapter 3, you sinners. And he goes on through and talks about sin. Go to 1st and 2nd Corinthians. I need to remind you that they had major problems. And every epistle to the Corinthians was primarily written to deal with their sin problem. Go to Galatians. You did run well. You go to Ephesians. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. You go to Philippians, do all things without murmuring and disputing. You know what occurred to me one day? Probably the greatest church in the New Testament, in my opinion, the church at Philippi. I didn't think they had no problems. So I read one day, do all things without murmuring and disputing. You know why he wrote that? Because they were murmuring and disputing. I mean, a great church. I mean, probably one of the best churches in the New Testament. They have two women in their argument. And Paul wrote to him and said, y'all be of one mind. Yeah. So about every epistle in the New Testament wasn't written so much to tell you God loves you. It was written to tell you we're sinners and we need to get rescued from it.
Amen.
I'm heading somewhere to all heaven.
So, most people are looking for a church that doesn't deal with the man assignment. They say that's too negative. Amen. I'm reminded of the great man Moses. You think sometime our church is negative? You should have had Moses for a pastor. What did Moses preach on the Sabbath? Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. 10 sermons. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Preacher, I'm looking for a positive church. You wouldn't have liked Moses' church. They finally got a deacon committee and come see him and said, do you have anything positive to say? He said, I'm preaching on that next Sunday. They said, thank God, 10 sermons on thou shalt not. Next Sunday, a positive death. He got up on the next Sabbath and he said, you are positively going to hell if you don't do them thou shalt not. Is everybody listening? Here's what I want us to leave tonight if you don't remember. Nothing else I say. The church's main assignment is to deal with our sin. Why is that true? Why is that true? Can I say you can't worship till sin's dealt with? May I say you can't work for God till sin's dealt with? May I say you can't witness for God till sin is dealt with? Hey, I'm simply saying till tonight, worship is not a funny feeling. Amen and amen. Adam said after he sinned, Genesis 3:10, Adam said after he sinned, I was afraid. For the church not to deal with sin is like a hospital not dealing with sickness.
Listen, church.
Amen. If I'm telling you, just help me. My assignment is our church. Of course, you got to deal with sin to get them to the good part. Most churches are looking for somebody ain't gonna deal with their sin.
That's exactly right.
Amen.
That's
But the main assignment of the church, I want, if you don't forget nothing else, remember that. The main assignment of the church is to deal with our sin. Because you can do nothing else for God till our sin is dealt with.
Yes,
you can't even get saved till sin is dealt with.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes.
So, he is saying to us in our writing, in our message tonight, that for a church not to deal with sin, like going to a hospital doesn't deal with your sin. How would you like to go to a hospital and say, man, I'm sick, give me some medicine. They say, we don't have no medicine.
Yes.
Well, would you send a nurse? We don't have no nurse. Well, would you send a doctor out here? We don't have no doctor. Now, I've seen a lot of things at the hospital. They go on. I've seen fellowship at the hospital. I've been to the waiting room, sat in the waiting rooms. I've seen a lot of fellowship in hospitals. I've seen a lot of friendliness in the hospital. But I'm going to tell you what, they wasn't down there at the hospital to fellowship. They wasn't down there at the hospital to be friendly. They were down there at the hospital because somebody was sick and needed some help. Amen. Hey, we do need a bedside manner.
Yes.
I'm glad I was over here in Johnson City. I had heart surgery. Preaching for Brother Larry Wells. Most of y'all know that. I had a heart attack in the pulpit. Don't let that scare you now. On the first night, 10 minutes in the message, right in his pulpit, had a heart attack. And they come over there and they said, I told Brother Wells, I said, Brother Wells, I ain't feeling real good. And they have a nurse in the church, and she come up there and check me out. And she said, preacher, you're pretty sick. I said, well, I think I just pulled a muscle. Y'all just send me in my room. I'll be all right. And she said, no, I don't think you pulled a muscle. I think you're sick. She said, matter of fact, we call an EMS. I said, wait a minute, man. Y'all don't do all that. This is embarrassing enough. And so right there in the church, they got the EMS. They come over there. And man, they even took my tie off and opened up my shirt. Right there, I'm telling you, it was bad. And they run me over there to the hospital emergency room. And that doctor come in there and hooked up some wires to me and checked me out. He said, Mr. Willis, he said, you're having a heart attack. I said, man, you have got to be kidding. He said, no, we ain't kidding. You're having a heart attack. He said, matter of fact, you're having a heart attack right now. I said, man, I cannot believe this. I never had no inkling, no symptoms. And right there over in Newport, Tennessee, I had a heart attack right there in the hospital, in the church, and in the hospital. And I'll never forget this. The doctor said, well, we can't work on you here. Said, we're a small facility. Said, we got to send you somewhere. Where would you like to go? Well, I didn't know where to go. He said, we have Knoxville and we have Johnson City. Make your choice. And when he said Johnson City, I wouldn't have enough heart attack. I didn't think it is. I said, send me to Johnson City, because I thought of Dr. Clarence Stanfield.
Yes, sir.
I said, if I can get over there by him, he'll pray for me.
Amen.
And they said, well, I said, so how you gonna send me over there? He said, I said, load me up. You gonna load me up? He said, no, we gotta fly you.
I said, you going to fly me? He said, yeah, we got a helicopter. We're getting it ready. He said, we're going to fly you over there to Johnson City. He said, are you ready to fly? I said, oh, yeah, Doc. I'm ready to fly. I wasn't talking about no helicopter, amen. I was talking about, I tell you, I never had grace like that in all my life, amen. And they flew me over there to Johnson City and did open heart surgery on me, amen. I'm glad, thank God, when I got to the hospital, there was a doctor there. I'm going to tell you what the doctor told me after he cut me open. I'm glad, first of all, he didn't walk up there with a rusty hacksaw. And said, Mr. Willis, we got you right where we want you, son. Come on, I'm talking about a bedside manner. Said, we're going to cut you open. I can't wait to do it. I'd have been a little nervous if the doctor did me like that. I tell you, people come to church and they'll be preaching against sin because we care about you. We ain't trying to, hey, we don't take joy. We got to cut you open spiritually speaking. We're trying to get you some help. Where are you sick at? That's why I'm glad he didn't tell me. Well, you'd be all right. Just get up and go home. I'd have died on the way. Y'all with me, church? I'm saying going to a church that doesn't deal with our problems, sin problems, is like going to a hospital that doesn't deal with our sickness.
That's right. Amen. We do need a bedside manner, is my point. You know, a little bit later, that doctor, after surgery, he said, Mr. Willis, I tell you a few things might ought to help you now.
He said, what you eating ain't helping you. Stay with me now. What I'm trying to say is the doctor told me things I didn't want to hear. He said, that bologna and that cheese you've been eating, man, I loved it. I'd be riding down the road going to a meeting out there in them country stores, and I'd stop in with my suit and all on. I'd walk in there, and I could see when they looked at me. And with my suit and my tie on, I'd walk back there to that counter. I'd say, I want a slab of that bologna and a hunk of cheese and a honey bun and a PepsiCo. And I'd get back in the car and ride down the road, just eat that bologna. Oh, man. Let's turn out church right now. He said, that bologna's killing you. That cheese is killing you. Man, I didn't want to hear that. Come on, y'all help me now. Said, it's messing up your heart. Y'all getting the spiritual application? Sometimes you come down to the church and the doctor, the spirit, and say, hey, what you doing is messing up your heart. Amen. And you know Moses, you know God told Moses, listen, to get this spiritual application. God told Moses, said, now next Sabbath I want you to preach on don't eat pork. Stay with me now. Go, I hope you go get you a bologna sandwich. Now, I ain't preaching against that. I'm making a spiritual application. You know why God told Moses to tell Israel not to eat bologna and not to eat pork? You know why he told them that? Because there was something in that pork that was killing them. They didn't have the modernization we had today to see what was in that pork. But God knew what was in it. Moses probably didn't even know what he was preaching. God told Moses, said, Moses, here's a message for next Sabbath. Said, preach on don't eat pork. Moses said, man, God, you want me to preach that? Why am I? He said, you don't ask me why you're preaching it. Just preach it. Amen. You know, sometimes the preacher gets up and preaches things and says, why is he preaching that? He don't even know why he's preaching.
That's right. Yes.
Because there was something in that meat that if they kept eating it, eventually it wouldn't kill them next week or next month or next year. But eventually it would kill them. Yes. Is everybody getting this point? Y'all got to help me. Amen. I'm telling you, sometimes God sends a preacher a message. He don't even know why he's preaching.
Amen.
Hey, it might not kill you next week, next year, but eventually if you keep doing it, hey, it will kill you. Amen.
That's right. Amen.
So what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to tell you, sometimes you may have to feel bad before you can feel better. Sometimes you come to church and I'm telling you, God gives the preacher a message to deal with your problem that eventually is going to kill you.
Right.
Amen and amen. So he said, don't eat of that tree. God said, don't eat of that tree. Why did he tell him that? Number one, he told him that because if you sin, it will not help the place God put you. Notice what he said in verse 15. Verse number 15, notice what he said. He said, and the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. He said he put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And when you sin, you mess up the place that God put you. You know what Eden means? Eden means a place of delight. Eden was a place of delight. He said, don't sin, because if you sin, you can mess up that place of delight. Everybody listening? He said, I want you to dress it. He said, I want you to dress it. I want you to be a garden. To dress means to bring to purpose, to make suitable, to develop, to make straight. But you know what? They sinned and they messed up the place that God put them.
Now I'm going to tell you what, God put us in a delightful place. We in Rogersville Baptist Temple. And when we sin, it messes up the place that God put us. And we can never make it what God intended it to be when we let sin come in our life. Hey, sin doesn't only affect you, it affects your family, it affects the church, it affects people outside the church. And so we sin, we mess up the place God put us. Hey, the main assignment of the church is to deal with our sin.
Amen.
Everybody listen. So he said, rest. He said, I want you to be a guardian. Then he said, keep it. He said, I want you to be a guardian. You know what our desire ought to be for Rogersville Baptist Temple? And this is Wednesday night. Our desire ought to be to guard this place. We ought to guard. That suggests there's an enemy.
Yeah.
Hey, if you don't believe this church has enemies, you don't think the devil wants to stop what this church is doing? So he hates what this church is doing. He hates people being saved. He hates people getting right. So we need to guard this place. Hey, for our families.
Amen.
Don't let the devil on the grounds. Amen. Rebuke him in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let the preacher preach. When the preacher, you know what the Bible said about Jesus? He said, the zeal of thy house has eaten me up.
Yeah.
In other words, Jesus said, man, when somebody messes up in the church, he said, that charges me up. Matter of fact, he went down to the temple one time and it was misusing the house of God, and Jesus went and made a whip.
Yes, he did.
Right.
Didn't say he went and got a whip, he said he went and made a whip.
Yeah. Yeah.
In other words, he took some time before he went in there and charged in there and run them people out and turned the tables over. He took some time. He thought about it. Sometimes the preacher walks in and you say, dear God, what got him fired up today?
Yeah.
Maybe the zeal of God's house has fired him up.
Yeah.
Maybe he's seen something coming to the house of God and mess up this place. And so he's done whipped up a message.
Amen.
Is everybody listening? He's been working on it for a while. He's seen it. He's been seeing it going a little while. And he's over there and he said, well, I better not charge him the next Sunday. We'll just pray about it. Come on, y'all help me. Amen.
Yeah.
He said, I'll just work on this whip, keep whipping up this message.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus said. He said, by the time, if they don't get it straight, by the time I get this whip made, then I'm going down there next Sabbath.
Yeah.
But he said, hey, if they got it straight, then I won't have to whip them. Go, y'all help me.
Yeah.
And the young preachers are sitting back in the church saying, why ain't the preacher taking care of that? Why ain't the preacher? Because the preacher's praying about it. Nobody takes delight and have to come to church and have to, deal with sin. So he's over there praying, oh God, correct that problem. You know what? After 26 years of ministry, I prayed and had problems in the church and God take care of it and I'll never have to preach on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
I used to think when I first started pastor, dear God, if it rises up, I'm going to cut it off.
Yeah.
Come on, y'all help me now. But I found over the years, sometimes God will take care of your problems for you and you don't have to deal with it.
Yeah. Amen.
And then sometimes you get it whipped up and it's still going on. Watch out next Sunday. Oh, yeah. Hey, I'm telling you, have the zeal of that house. We ought to guard this place. Hey, we ought to keep any enemy out of here. Amen. I'm telling you. Hey, God needs to protect this place. But He uses you and me to protect it. Somebody come gossiping. Say, hey, man, let's don't talk about the church.
That's right. That's right.
Hey, we got a delightful place here. We got God on the grounds. Amen. It's a place of delight. Hey, if the devil gets his way, it'll be a place of disgrace. Can I tell you, I count on a church run about 140, 50 on Sunday. On Wednesday night, Thursday night on visitation, we'd have anywhere from 20 to 25 men in the parking lot going visiting. I mean, our church, we had radio ministry, we had missionaries. I mean, our preacher was preaching all over the country. Can I tell you, the devil come to Calvary Baptist Church and got in Calvary Baptist Church. And tonight, our church runs 140, 50, fundamental, strong, separated. Tonight, there is no church there. Why? The devil got in. He took a delightful place and made it a place of disgrace. Well, we better protect what God's given us. He said, I want you to dress it and I want you to guard it.
Yeah.
I tell you, guard what we got.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I'm telling you, church, don't read me wrong on this church. I know you won't. I'm telling you what, if you don't deal with sin from time to time, sin will take over your church.
Yeah.
You have to deal with sin sometimes because we're all sinners. We don't deal with sin to be mean. We deal with sin to keep this place right so we can have God on the scene.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to tell you. Hey, he said when you sin, you mess up the place God put you. Number two, when you sin, you mess up, you not help the people God put you with. What are you trying to say? He said, verse 18, he said, I'll give you a help meet. Amen. Could I tell you that when she sinned, she messed up the person God put her with? Are you listening? Hey, notice this. Help meet means one to meet the need. Help me means to help you become what you could not achieve without them. Do you know God has put us in here together tonight to help one another? And when we sin, we mess up the people God put us with. You know, God even takes our weaknesses to help one another. Amen. What does He do? Sometimes He takes our weaknesses to give us patience in dealing with people. Boy, everybody can get along with everybody when everybody's doing well. Now, I'm not promoting sin, but I am saying all of us are sinful and we all fail from time to time. But hey, we ought to learn to put up with one another even when sometimes we ain't doing right. God uses people to help us be what we ought to be.
Yeah. Right.
Amen and amen. Yeah. Heard a preacher say one time, he said, man, I'd love pastoring if it wasn't for people.
Yeah.
I probably said it myself, but it ain't right.
That's right.
Hey, without people, we wouldn't have nobody to pastor.
Yeah.
And if y'all ever got perfect, the Bible said perfect the same. If y'all ever got perfect, he wouldn't have a job.
That's right.
Come on, Tokyo, is everybody listening? Amen. God puts us in the church. Hey, what? Don't sin, because it messes up the people God put us with.
Amen
and amen. I've never seen the biggest heartbreaks I've ever seen in my life has been a church sin gets in it and how it messes people up. Everybody listen? Turns kids off? Hey, how come you don't go to church? Well, I was in church one time as a young person, and I saw all kind of sin, all kind of fighting and carrying on, and I just don't care to go to church no more. How many times I've heard that? Hey, we ought to keep this place where God can come. Not mess up the sin. Amen. Amen. Hey, you know what sin did when Eve sinned? You know what it did? It destroyed her family. Can I tell you the first kids they had, one killed the other? I'm telling you, sin is nothing to play with. The Bible said Cain slew Abel. Both raised in a godly home.
Listen.
Hey, both sat at the same devotions. How did Abel know to give a blood sacrifice? He found it out at mom and daddy's devotions when they slayed that animal and put those skins on. He found it out at the house.
Right.
Yeah, man. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you, hey, when we sin, we mess up the people God put us with. Hey, it brought destruction to her family. It brought devastating flood. It brought death finally. Hey, listen to this now. Listen to this. Here's my main point. What did they do so bad to cause all that? They took a piece of fruit. Oh, man, surely she must have committed adultery. No, they didn't commit no adultery. Wasn't nobody to run around with. Everybody listening? That's my best point. I come up here all week. That's the point I want to give y'all all week. I can go home now. Hey, the sin that was so hideous is it took a piece of fruit and got us all in the jam.
Right.
Is everybody listening? What was that awful sin that's going to cause all of us to go by the way of the grave unless the Lord comes? One piece of fruit.
Yeah.
How bad you got to sin to mess up the whole thing? One piece of fruit for them. Wasn't adultery. I'm reminded Adam was woke up one night. His wife was punching him in the side. He said, woman, what's wrong with you? She said, I think you're running around on me. He said, do what, Eve? She said, I think you're running around on me. He said, Eve, don't be ridiculous. Ain't nobody left here but me and you. We're the only ones on planet Earth. Woke up the next night. She's punching him in the side. He said, woman, were you at it again? What's wrong with you? She said, I'm counting ribs. Is everybody listening? I'm trying to take you tonight. Hey, how bad you got to sin? It might be just a piece of fruit.
Yeah,
man. Hey, when you sin, you mess up the place. You mess up the people. Number three. Hey, don't sin. It serves no good purpose. God's got a purpose. Isn't that wonderful? I agree with Brother Barry Long. He would say, thank God I got a purpose.
Amen.
Woo! You are looking at what happened hell of the night. I'm saying, thank God I got a purpose for living. Just to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Amen.
It's wonderful. It's better than dope.
Yeah.
Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm dying. I got a purpose to live in. Greatest working on planet Earth. We in the church of the living God. And we get to serve the King of Kings.
That's right.
What better can we get? Amen. Hey, it serves no good purpose. He didn't need to sin.
Right.
Well, he had everything he needed. He had God. He had lakes. He had rivers. He had fish. He had animals. He had everything you could need. Why do we sin? Hey, we don't have to sin to be survived. He didn't have to sin to be satisfied.
Right, right.
Look, what he told Adam? He said, I want you to look at every tree.
Look at it.
He said, every tree. He said, oh, one prohibition, Adam. One prohibition. That one tree. Don't touch that one tree.
Yeah.
He said, everything else. Is everybody listening?
Yeah.
Everything else, it's yours. Just that one tree, that one prophet. Can't you hear it right now? That negative preaching. Dear God, he won't let, he says we can't do this and we can't do that. But wait a minute. On the other hand, he tells you what you can do.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch more I can do than I can't do. Matter of fact, after I got saved, I don't want to do it. Hey, I don't need bad Budweiser. I got a Bible. Are you listening? I don't need alcohol. I got an advocate. Call Jesus.
Amen.
Well, are you listening, church? I'm just simply saying, hey, we don't need to sin and mess up the purpose. Man, God, hey, man, I'm just telling you, church, I ain't preaching to come back. I'm just telling you the truth. God's doing something in the church.
Sure.
Man, I was about to have a shout and spell before the preacher ever started. I'm telling you. Well, that first song, I just can't love him enough. I just can't praise him enough. I told my wife, I said, we are going to learn that song. I know it's 50 years old, but we're going to learn that song. I put her, I said, I remember many years ago over there, Brother Venables, over there around Virginia. I went to a meet and the choir got up and said, I just can't praise him enough. I said, I want to learn that song. Here I am 25 years later and we ain't learned it yet. Amen. But I'm going back home and we're going to say, I just can't praise him enough. Hey, we got a purpose just to praise him.
Yes.
Hey, do this. Everybody do that. You know what? If you did that, let everything to have breath. Praise God. Are you breathing? Praise God. Amen. I got a purpose for living. Hey, when I die, I'll be better off. Amen. Hallelujah. What are you trying to say? Hey, he said what? Don't sin and mess us up. Hey, it messes up the place, the people, the purpose. Don't sin because it causes you to live below your potential. You know what he told them over there in Genesis 1:26? Look what he told them. He said in Genesis, and God said, Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image, over our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish, over the fowl, over the cattle, over all the earth. You know what God's design for Adam and Eve was? To have dominion. Hey, we ought not sin. Why? When we sin, we live below our potential. It messed that up. It messed up their dominion. Hey, God says sin shall not have dominion over us. Romans chapter number 6. And when we sin, we live below the potential that God has planned for us.
That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah. Man, I'm glad. I'm not talking about being sinless, but I am talking about sinning less.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Man, when God saved us, He gave us power to overcome things. Amen. We become new creatures. We have power. We have now. Some of y'all was on dope. But the night you got saved, God gave you dominion. Hey, dope. Hey, you don't have to have dope no more. Why you need dope when you got hope? Is everybody? Hey, he gave us, some of us, before we got saved, hey, we couldn't get along with our mates. And our mates couldn't get along with us. But God saved us and put the grace of God in our life. And now, hey, we get along like we're on our honeymoon. Woo! Let's recess and shout a while. I'm still glad I got my wife, and for sin about took her from me. Is everybody listening? Hey, when we sin, we live below our potential. Sin will defeat us. Amen. I'm almost through. Hey, if we sin, it will cause you to pay. Look at verse 17. But the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest of, thou shalt surely die. Eve left that place and went over there and started discussing that with the devil. Don't never discuss nothing with the devil.
Amen.
You used to get in a debate with the devil and he's going to win.
Yeah.
What you need to do with the devil is what Jesus did. And the Bible said over there in Matthew chapter number 4, what did he say? He said, it is written.
You better don't never debate the devil on your terms. You better debate him with the Word of God. And Eve got in discussion with the devil, and she ended up denying the Bible, doubting the Bible, denying the Bible, and it became disillusioned. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm just simply trying to say to us tonight, hey, when we sin, notice when we sin, we will pay. He said, if you eat of it, you will surely die. And then a lot of people partook and they're dead spiritually. Are you listening? I look back over 35 years of being saved and I'm telling you, if I wasn't looking forward, it'd be depressing. I've seen sin come into families, come in homes, come in churches, and I'm telling you, when he left, there was devastation. You're going to pay. If you sin, I'm telling you, church, we forgot this. If we sin, we're going to pay.
Amen.
Now, if you're a child of God, you saved tonight, and you sin, and I sin, we're going to pay. You can mark it down. God said you were.
Amen.
We think we can sin. We think we can do what we want to do and get by, but God said, God's Word said, you're going to pay. He said, I chasten those that I love.
Amen.
He said, every son that I receive is going to be
right.
Scourged. We sin, we're going to pay. You know what I thought about, Brother Barry? I thought about when he told Adam and Eve that. You know what? They never heard about death. They had never seen death. He said, Adam and Eve, y'all sin? He said, you're going to die. They didn't even know what death was. They'd never been to a funeral. Hey, when they sinned, hey, they didn't know what judgment was. They'd never seen. All they'd ever seen is the blessings of God. All they ever seen is the garden of delight. They didn't know what judgment was. They didn't know what a flood was. They didn't know what murder was. Are you listening? They didn't know what hell was. God said, if you sin, you're going to pay. They didn't even know what pain meant. But they did.
Right.
Now listen to this. We know what it is.
Yes, sir.
He said, if you sin, you're going to pay. We know what payment is. We know what hell is. We know what judgment is. Adam and Eve didn't know, but we do know. We got more insight than he had. And yet, God says, don't do this, don't do that. And if you do it, you're going to pay. And we marked right up there and do it anyway. And we know what's coming. I had a man in my church years ago. He was a deacon. He came out of Charleston, moved up into the country. I could call his name. His name was Brother Dunn. And Brother Dunn started coming out of church. He was a deacon in Hanahan Baptist Church down in Charleston. And him and his wife moved up into the country and started coming out of church. I had a dear preacher friend of mine, Brother Hobson Wolf, was his pastor. And he came out of that church and started coming out of church. And came out of church a pretty good while, him and his wife. And they was, and then after they got out, they started slacking off. They wouldn't come back Sunday night, wouldn't come back Wednesday night. And I just kept preaching. Finally, his wife died. I said, well, that's going to wake him up. This man was a deacon. This man had a position in the church. He knew what it was. He was a leader in the church. Hey, his wife died. I said, well, surely that'll wake him up. He just kept on that. Pretty soon, his daughter died. Pretty soon, he got in a bad wreck. I mean, just one thing right after another. One thing right after, and he'd come back to the church. And every time he'd come out, I love the old fellow. I mean, I loved him. And he'd come out the back door, and he was kidding. I know he was kidding. I mean, I ain't no crank. But he'd come out the back door, and he'd shake my hand. And he'd say, preacher, we told him this morning. He said, we laid it on this morning, didn't we? I said, amen, brother. He'd come out next Sunday. He said, preacher, I'll tell you what, we bear down on it today, didn't we? I said, amen, brother. So he just kept doing that. And I can take that. But one Sunday he walked out, and I don't know whether I wasn't feeling good or just got bold. Whether in the spirit or out of the spirit, I don't know. Everybody listen. He said, preacher, we put it on this morning, didn't we? And I knew he was playing. I said, Brother Dunn, I said, right after everybody leaves, let me talk to you. He said, all right. Took him in the room after everybody left. I said, Brother Dunn, I know you're kidding. I'm not harping on you, and you know me good enough to know I care about you. I said, but I know you keep saying that. We told him. I said, ever dawned on you who I'm telling? He said, what do you mean, preacher? I said, you're leaving right now today, and you don't plan to come back tonight. He hung his head. I said, you ain't coming back tonight, Brother Dunn. He said, no. Preacher, I don't have no plans to be back tonight. I said, Brother Dunn, I'm going to tell you something. I love you. If you keep doing what you're doing, God's going to deal with you.
That's right.
I said, I ain't trying to be harsh. I had bedside manner. I didn't pull out a rusty hack, so I said, bless God, if you ain't back tonight, I'm going to cut your head off. You hear me? I ain't big enough to do that. But I just said, Brother Dunn, God ain't going to let you get by with that, brother. And so he just continued that week. Didn't come back that Sunday night. Just continued that week. Well, his granddaughter moved in the house with him, her and her husband. Moved in the house with him. And they had a baby. And one night in the middle of the night, the house caught on fire. Well, the son-in-law was working.
So Brother Dunn got up in the middle of the night. The house was ablaze. He run out the house. When he got outside, his granddaughter and his great-grandchild wasn't out there. And he said, "My Lord, they're still in the house." And he run back in the house to find his daughter, his granddaughter, and his great-granddaughter. And he looked everywhere, and he couldn't find them. And he got burnt to a crisp. And they called me and said, "Brother Dunn's house burnt down. He's in the medical university. You need to go see him." And I rushed down there to the hospital. And I'm telling you, Brother Craig, when I got down there, I've never seen a sight like that in my life. I'm not exaggerating. The man's head was about this big. His lips were swollen up back over his nose. I mean, he was burnt to a crisp. The doctor said, "We're just trying to settle him because he's going to die any moment." I mean, he was racked with pain. And I looked at him and I prayed for him. And he couldn't understand me or hear me. And eventually, in a few days, he died. They called on me. They said, "Preacher, family want you to preach the funeral." Well, I went to the church. He didn't have it in our church. He didn't have it in a funeral home. He had it in another church down there that his family went to. And I'm telling you, Brother Barry, I got up in that pulpit to preach the funeral, and I could not tell you my name. I said, "Lord, what in the world is wrong?" I couldn't hardly get out who my name was, much less read the Bible and preach a sermon. So anyway, we went to the cemetery, buried him, his granddaughter, and her husband. They moved to Georgia. And they got down in Georgia. This is about a year later, Mom. About a year later, they got down to Georgia, and they was in a junk joint, got drunk, and started telling how they set the house on fire and burned up their granddaddy and got their insurance money. Well, some people in the bar went and told the authorities down in Georgia what was happening. They come over to the house, traced everything out, and found out that's exactly what they did. They set the house on fire, got the insurance money. They went down to Georgia, arrested them, brought them back up to Berkeley County, sent them to the court, and one of them's in life for prison, and his granddaughter's in life in prison, I don't know, 25 or 30 years, because they burned up their own granddaddy. What are you trying to say, preacher? Here's what I'm telling you. You are not going to sin and get by with it. You say, "How trivial has it got to be, missing church?" Well, they took a piece of fruit. You said, "Preacher, that's pretty hard." I'm just trying to tell you, I ain't trying to be mean. I'm just trying to tell you, we are not going to dilly-dally around with God. God said, if you're my child, you're not going to sin and get by with it.
Right. Amen.
I'm telling you, church, most of us don't believe that today.
Right.
People say, "I live the way I want to, do what I want, and nobody's going to tell me what to do." Go ahead and keep that attitude. God, if you save, God's going to catch up with you.
Right.
Amen. That's God's word. If you sin, you're going to pay. I'll give you something else. This is amazing. Notice this right here. Look in chapter number 3, verse 23. And I'm through. Chapter 3, verse 23. Notice what it says. And the Bible said, "Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." You know sin could get you put out? What? Put out. The Bible said God forgave them and clothed them and then put them out. Stay with me now. We live in a society that's a bunch of bleeding hearts.
Yes, sir.
Do you know the church has the authority when sin enters to deal with you, and if you don't get it right, they can put you out?
Amen.
Only a few times in 26 years have we had to deal with that. But I'm telling you, God gets to the place that if you sin, He'll, and the church can forgive you.
Right.
It ain't an issue of forgiveness. Right. If a person sins and says, "I'm sorry," hey, the church is going to forgive you.
Right.
But you can't get put out.
Right. Yes.
Why? Because it messes up the place. It messes up the people. It messes up the purpose. And God's Son says, sometimes, I'm just telling you, sometimes God said, the church would be better off without that not being here.
Amen.
God's grace will forgive you, but God's government could put you out if it gets that far. Y'all done died on me. They got put out of the place of delight. They made it become a place of disgrace, and God said, "All right, forgiveness, I'll clothe you, I'll forgive you, but I got to put you out." Now, pretty tough, ain't church? Why, what is God doing about that? God said, don't sin because it messes up everything I'm trying to do.
Messes it up.
But I got to thank God and give you this point. Some of you ought to cheer up on this one. What is that? Thank God there's a pardon.
Amen.
Well, I'm glad I can close on this. Hallelujah. I was scared to shake hands the way y'all was looking. Amen. Thank God there's a place of pardon. The Bible said in our text in the New Testament tonight, He said, "These things I write unto you that you sin not. But if you do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Hey, He said, "I'm not telling you to sin, I'm telling you not to. But if you do, thank God we have an advocate, we have a lawyer that'll plead our case." Amen.
Amen.
Do you know what? The curse started at a tree. But it was cured at a tree.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I'm reminded of those two fellows that was on a prairie and the brush fire took up. And man, the brush fire was just whipping everywhere. The wind started whipping and it was burning, burning, burning. And these two fellas was on the prairie and they was running, 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 running. And they finally run, they couldn't run no more. And they said, "We're going to get caught." They go, "The brush fire is going to burn us." And they stopped breathing hard. And one looked at the other and he said, "Sir, do you have a match?" He said, "A match? Why do you want a match with all that fire?" He said, "Don't test me that. Do you have a match?" He said, "Yeah, I got a box of matches." He said, "Give them to me." He took the box of matches. He struck it. He lit a fire right here. And that fire burned back to where the fire was coming. He stepped over on the burnt side because the fire could never burn where it already burned. And y'all listen. Thank God 2,000 years ago, the judgment of God fell on Calvary. Amen. Now I'm telling you, the judgment will never come where I've already been. Amen. Woo! And now there's no condemnation.
Amen.
I'm judgment proof. Amen. I tell you what, about 35 years ago, I stepped over on Calvary. Amen. Amen. And the judgment will never fall there again. Woo! Hallelujah. Are you listening? Hey, we need to tell the world there's a God of grace. I'm glad I can close the night saying, hey, if we have sinned, thank God there's a pardon. I don't know who's here tonight and what your condition is, but I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven loves you so much, He sent His Son to Calvary to pay our sin debt so you and I could go free. You talk about free. Somebody said, "Man, don't get saved. You can't do this and you can't do that." You're looking at a free fellow tonight. Thank God I ain't got to smoke dope no more. Thank God I don't need a liquor bottle no more. Thank God I got Jesus. I'm about to get excited. Amen. I tell you what. Somebody said, "Well, you can't dance no more." Every now and then I do the two-step. I'm trying to tell you. Hey, God has set us free. Amen. Don't feel sorry for me, friend. Yeah, God, I ain't got to have no crack tonight. Hallelujah. Don't need crack when you got Christ. Somebody said, "Man, you need to go hit the rock." No, thank God one day the rock hit me. Amen. His name is Jesus. Amen. I'm through. Lord have mercy. I lied 5 times. I want to tell you what the devil will do. He'll entice you to the first tree. But he'll try to keep you from the second tree. I found this out and I'm through. The more you hang around each tree, the more you understand good and evil. What is your sin tonight? Could be an attitude. Are you listening? Could be an action. Could be an affair. Could be absence. What's your sin tonight? I'm telling you, God sent you a message tonight. Hey, don't sin! Because it messes up everything the church is trying to do. And the church is there to deal with our sin so we can stay in fellowship with God.
Amen.
And get things done for God. Let's stand. Let's pray. Pastor, you come. Heads about.